Well, I don't know what will happen now. Difficult days ahead, but I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And He's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over, and I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land.
We got to come together. Whether you believe in that or not, you got to decide whether you have dominion over yourself.
I believe that the majority of the plain people of the United States will day in and day out make fewer mistakes in governing themselves than any smaller class or body of men, no matter what their training, will make in trying to govern them.
And you got to decide whether it's God that's going to have dominion over you, that you get orders from, or whether some other human that's jacked into the evil force is going to have dominion over you.
What we're talking about now is like a second industrial revolution, but the product this time will not be textiles or machines or vehicles or even weapons. The product this time will be humans themselves.
Do we want to have a human plan or a post-human plan? Noval Harari and Klaus Schwab and Bill Gates say humans are obsolete, we're scum, because they know we are their competition. They know that if we go for what we want and what God wants us to have, they can't compete with that transmission. They can't compete with that blueprint. They can't compete with that architecture. They can't compete with that master plan. But I just see it now. It'll be so clear soon. Are you pro-human or are you anti-human? You are the human resistance to this alien takeover. And again, when I say alien takeover, I don't mean some little tinfoil flying saucer crashing in Roswell from Alpha Centauri. I'm talking about the transmission in the universe of God's order and God's will, or do you choose to serve the agents of death? And like Martin Luther King said, we're not going to judge them off what color they are. We're going to judge them off of the character of their actions and deeds. So I'm going to say it right now, real clear. I love everybody, no matter what color your beautiful skin is. What I care about is your heart and your guts and your mind. And you're under attack by these Satanists, and they want to kill you, and they want to kill your children. And I say we set our differences aside, and I say we come together, and we beat these people, and we smash their technocracy, and we build the future together, and we can do anything with our real diversity. These enemies tell us all day about diversity. They mean divided and conquered groups of people separate from each other.
This bill is supported by all of the Democrats, House and Senate. It's just the filibuster in a way. So in a way, if you really truly want to honor Dr. King, don't dishonor him by using a congressional custom as an excuse for protecting our democracy.
But I tell you, if you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, then you ain't black.
I want unity under a code of freedom and liberty and justice and coming together and working together and being strong. And that's what InfoWars is. And that's why the enemies of humanity hate us so much, because we love God. And God loves humanity. And I am a human supremacist. 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 That term will be the future war with the robots and the AI. What you're hearing now is the entire future and everything they tried to stop us from doing. Our supremacy will not end with this planet. We will people the stars. We will colonize. We will green dead worlds. We will go interdimensional. We will unlock the secrets of the universe. God has laid them out like Christmas presents for his children. And I am extremely honored to be in the fulcrum and the heart of the fight to bring our race, the human race, in a race for the future. And we will break the enemy. We will break the pedophiles. We will break the Satanists, because God already sent his own self down here to show us he could do it. God would never ask us to go through an obstacle course he wouldn't go through. And now we're going to go through what Christ did. And we're going to go through it, and we're going to be destroyed but reborn on the other side.
Oh.
This is a major alert. I'm cutting this announcement on the evening of Tuesday, November 6, 2025. You only have until this Sunday, that's 3.5 days, to take part in the biggest sale ever at theyellowshowstore.com. Store-wide, 25% off on top of all the sales, like 50% off on all the supplements like Ultra, Methylene, Blue, and more. The widest selection of Patriot apparel, you name it, they're on the site, and you fund this operation. Now, InfoWars is close to being shut down. They have a state receiver. Said it could be next week or next month. It's very close. But regardless, we have the Alex Jones Network, and we will continue on. And your support is funding that operation as well. So get great products and be the reason we always stay on the air at thealexjonesstore.com. Become a VIP for $30 a month. Get $40 to spend, special deals, special offers as well. So many other deals. Take action now. That's thealexjonesstore.com. The coordinates of 1776 worldwide.
Ladies and gentlemen, to InfoWars Sunday Night Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, in studio with Vivian Kubrick. She has been gracious enough to stay on for a little while because I was actually in my office and didn't realize you were going to be in town and saw you on with Alex. And I thought, oh, I'm going to go in there and see if she'll stay a little bit so we can talk a little bit more. So thank you so much for staying.
Oh, Harrison, it's a pleasure. And as you may well know, I'm a rather, what's the right word? Serious activist on behalf of humanity. So I've always got things to say. Anyway.
That's right. Well, and one of the privileges of, being on after Alex is I get to watch his show, and he's often interviewing a great guest like yourself, and I get to take notes and go, ooh, we'll expand on this. I want to talk about this because I was, absolutely resonating with everything you were talking about. And actually, very funnily enough, I was in my office editing a clip from Dr. Strangelove, or How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb, probably my favorite movie of all time. And I got to say, with all the wonderful things that come with working at InfoWars, being able to say that I'm friends with the daughter of Stanley Kubrick is like really at the top of my list. So it's always such an honor to talk to you.
Well, goodness, thank you. I have to confess that Dr. Strangelove is my favorite film that my dad made.
Is it? Why? Because it's mine too, but what do you like about it?
First of all, it's hilarious. And I also think that it's probably one of the rarest movies that managed to be a brilliant comedy and at the same time show us ourselves and show, more importantly, the insanity, which, you know, that's why it's called, Mad.
Yeah.
What is it? What's it stand for? Oh my God, I'm sorry. My brain is going. We're all being poisoned by heavy metals. Mad is...
Our precious bodily fluids.
Oh, yeah. And isn't that weird?
It's so funny.
Yeah, really funny. Actually, can I tell you something funny? I think I've said this before when I've been here, but amazingly, I was reading Noam Chomsky, a book of his, which, of course, I can't remember the title, and he actually explains that the scenario of Dr. Strangelove actually happened.
Right.
And what was it? There's no point me trying to remember anything today. I had a fear that this would happen. Anyway.
Okay, we'll leave the details to the
side. So I just think that it makes it far more compelling that it actually did happen.
Right.
And there was a U.S. general that brought America to the absolute brink of nuclear exchange. So MAD stands for, will somebody tell me in my ear what MAD stands for?
Mutually Assured Destruction.
Thank you. And so that's obviously something that we can't allow. And you know, the fact that someone like Sean Penn is even listened to, the fact that he says, oh, yeah, let's do a nuclear war, it'll be fine. It's us. Don't even get me started.
No, it's insane. And people can look at Dr. Strangelove, and there's some silly parts that people, point to, which are hilarious. Don't get me wrong. I mean, they really, make the movie a highlight. There's no fighting in here. It's the war room. But those are sort of just the surface level. That's the, the sweet taste to get it in. But the medicine at the heart of it, the real story is about how the powerful will destroy everything if they get to come out on top, if they get to rule over the ashes. Well, maybe, you know, because the subtitle, How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb, it was, well, you know, if the bomb does go off, we're going to have to go into a bunker with a bunch of fertile women for the next 100 years. And hey, maybe that doesn't sound so bad. I mean, we'd have to take the most important people, which is all of us, right? We all agree it's us. I mean, there's something so, you know, deeply true about that.
Yeah, look, that film is a favorite of mine for that reason. Is the display of the idiocy of human beings, the evil. And I mean, Peter Sellers is just orgasmically brilliant in it.
Yeah.
But listen, you said very clearly, they're all going to save themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care what happens, and they're willing to kill all of us. Because again, from carrying over from Alex's show, their level of consciousness, and we cannot take this for granted, that the reality of a human being that is prepared to blow up the whole planet, which is what they thought when they did their first atomic bomb experiments. 50% of the scientists said, we're going to have a chain reaction and vaporize the planet. And they went, screw it, let's do it. It's
crazy.
Like, so we know that these people are crazy, and it's our job to, you know, kick our own asses and get brave and start pushing against them. Because this is one thing that I absolutely know. When you're that low consciousness, you are a huge coward.
Mm.
And I think that's a lot of the motivation of why people don't want anyone else to be strong. Like in, you know, There Will Be Blood, you know, I hate everyone. Actually, frankly, sometimes I get in a mood where I hate everyone. But he really meant it.
Right.
And these people really mean it. They hate other human beings.
Yeah.
And if you look, and in fact, I won't go into particulars, but I actually spent time with a family member of one of the most wealthiest bankers on this planet, because I was trying to save a friend of mine who was heavily into heroin. She was a big film producer and her life was just being thrown away. So I ended up in this empty house in Malibu with these rich kids who were just buying heroin and destroying themselves. And that's one thing that I feel happens to a lot of these extremely wealthy families, is that they're like that character in There Will Be Blood, and their children are destroyed for the lack of nurturing, and you know, when you look at the Rockefeller family, and each generation seemed to commit the most incredible crimes,
right?
And their arrogance is just incredible. Now, do spirit beings incarnate into these families? Because, you know, I'll just use these words, you know, vibrationally, they're humming at the same low consciousness. They're attracted to each other as spirit beings. I mean, I know a lot of Christians think we only live once, but I can tell you that I've done enough research, and I also remember a lot of my past lives. That's not the case. We don't just live once. And anyway, the way I see it, even if we did just live once, which just would make no sense, why would you bring a consciousness into this world only to obliterate its entire experience and its value? So, and plus, if you look at paranormal shows and you look at all the incidents where, you know, you get manifestations of apparitions, electronic voice phenomena, there is something there.
Sure.
And
yeah, probably the most common one is people waking up and going, you know, oh my God, my mom's dead, or whatever it is. Like people, it's such a common thing. People getting dreams or waking up and going, I need to call my uncle who I haven't heard in 5 years. And turns out he died that night. I mean, there's so many things like that. You cannot just say, oh, materialism is all there is, and this is, you know, what you see is what exists. Clearly there's something else.
I could tell you stories all night of my own psychic experiences and literal visions. I just think that we have capacities that correspond, almost like genes being turned off and woken up. You can reach certain levels of awareness where you start to pick things up. But let's not go off on a wild tangent, because I'm perfectly capable of doing that.
Oh, well, that's what we're all about here, wild tangent. Well, because they all tie in, right? And, you know,
can I go on a wild tangent?
Yeah, please. Let us have it.
So we were talking about these people not wanting other people to live, to not win, to not be competition.
Right.
For some reason, hand in hand with that is this destruction. Even though they claim to be worried about planet Earth, they're planning now to destroy our own pets. Now, I happen to absolutely adore animals, and I adore my cats and dogs. And right now, in fact, I gave Daria a clip to play They've changed the vaccinations for animals, which was already out of control. They were doing these yearly vaccinations with my own vet that I went to. She was saying, you know, sometimes I really feel that the animals are dying and getting very serious illnesses and cancer because we keep vaccinating them. But she was in terror of losing her job. She had a family. And again, a lot of these veterinary clinics are being taken over by corporations, just like the hospitals. They end up with administrators. They end up with protocols. And again, the vets are disempowered from actually caring for the animals. Don't even get me started on Big Pharma. But if Daria has that clip, I'd love to play this vet who went to, yeah?
Yeah, we're ready to watch it. And just to clarify what you're saying, so all of the vaccines are now mRNA vaccines that go into
the animals. Yep,
it's all been turned over, and that's one of the things that, like, I don't think people understand. When it came to COVID, this was not just an attack on humanity; it was an attack on the world. I mean, they're talking about vaccinating wild animals, and now they're dropping edible vaccines from helicopters over wildland. I mean, this is an attack on nature as a whole.
And if you're insane, which these people are, you believe that what you're doing is good. I don't think there's an evil tyrant on this planet who doesn't think they're doing good.
Right.
That's how insane they are. I mean, you only have to read very famous books like, of course, Jane Eyre. Thank God my memory worked. the heroine of the book. Okay, brain not working. I can't remember my point. Anyway, we'll move on quickly. So I feel desperate that not only do we get rid of corporate medicine and the fact that there are so many alternative medicines that actually cure people, make them healthy. All of the medicine, with very few exceptions, that is created by Big Pharma are toxins. That's why they have those absurdly hilarious lists of horrific side effects that they amazingly put on their ads. And amazingly, even more, people take them.
Yeah.
So I want animals to be given the same respect as we would for any living consciousness,
right,
including ourselves. And I think that any group of human beings who can be cruel, and in America there's plenty of them, otherwise we wouldn't have animal control, dog fighting, bull, you know, these are savage, barbaric things. And don't even get me started on the Yulin meat market in China,
where I've never
ever seen such horrific things in my life.
No, it's a true measure, I think, of humanity, civilization, whatever you want to call it. We pride ourselves on how we treat animals here. I know in the UK it's even more so, right? And so it's bizarre that they're welcoming in these cultures. Like, the way you slaughter for halal is just brutal and horrific. You don't want any of that. And when it comes to vets, it's private equity, by the way. People don't know, the same way that private equity, BlackRock, Blackstone, they're buying up. We have on Tiffany Cianci, who's really big on this. She talks about how, I mean, they're systematically buying up almost every industry in America, but vets have been bought up by private equity, consolidated into conglomerates, and they all get orders from the top. I hate going to the vet. I've got my pets, and we take them whenever they need it. But every time I feel like I'm being screwed over, I'm getting stuff I don't need. I don't like it. It's a money grab, and it's not in the best interest of the health of the pet, obviously, the choices that they're making.
Well, here's why I have a million books on homeopathy, on frequency medicine, on light healing. Trust me, I've experienced these things for myself. And I know a lot of this hasn't been experienced by a lot of people. So they're completely out reality that these things exist or happen. But I won't take up the time here of my own experience. But if we don't escape from this domination of incredibly insane and evil as a result of their low state of consciousness, we are going to be destroyed.
Yep.
And every time that we put our heels in and go, no, you are not vaccinating my animal. So let me say to Trump, I know that you love animals. I'm absolutely certain that your family love animals. You've got to set the entire veterinary system free from the domination of big corporations. I don't know what kind of law would allow that to happen, but we need to not only have individual vets making their own decisions of whether an animal is fit. Personally, I don't want them to have vaccines at all because I don't trust it. And I could go on about why vaccines bypass the entire body's system of defenses. And that's why it's dangerous. Look at the book, Okay. Yep. Brain not working.
All right. Well, you'll look it up, but we'll go to this.
Dr. Judy Mikovits, her book, The Plague, great. Plague of Corruption.
Yeah.
And once you start to look into the pharmaceutical industry and its horrific control, not only of wildlife with these airdrop vaccines, which I don't believe for a second is really for wildlife. They're trying to poison us. But I actually think that farm animals, the genetic modification, the incredible amounts of drugs, hormones and stuff that they give to these big meatpacking, all the farm animals under these huge corporations. It's all the same thing. That's exactly why I was saying earlier to Alex that we have to get this incredible, solid concept of being able to differentiate when we look at something. Is this authoritarian or is this libertarian? Are the vets being allowed to make discretionary calls about their way of healing animals? Or are they going to be under law forced to do things that are against the animal's health? Now, we all know some vets that'll kind of go, yeah, don't worry about the vaccine. Or they'll even help you. And there were plenty of people during COVID that helped a lot of human beings. I have friends that did this. They went into the doctor's room. The doctor left. They took the COVID vaccine, splat it into the trash can. And then, you know, that was it. And if we don't, and what about that German nurse who like gave everyone saline because she knew how bad it was? That's the kind of behavior, the misbehavior, the do not comply, the use your own intelligence to know what's right and wrong. Don't back away.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, 100%. I'm just completely agreeing with you and just thinking about how many other things we talk about go into this. We're talking about Bovaer. I'm not sure if you've seen
their feeding. Yes, the horrible thing with the animals.
Feeding
the cows.
It to the cows in Denmark, and the cows are just falling over dead. And but it's by law they have to feed them this feed that's supposed to mitigate methane gas release because Bill Gates, says it does. And it's just, it's crazy. So they're going after the farms. They're trying to destroy the farms. And you're right. It's all about, I put it a little bit different way, but it's exactly what you're saying. Authoritarianism versus libertarianism. I just try to remind people it's all about control. They don't care which religion you are, as long as the religion can control you. You know, I think that's why they like Muslims so much or Islam so much, because it's a very easy to control religion. That the imam on that Friday, when he's up there in the mosque, he is the equivalent of the Pope to Catholics, right? What he says is the law. And so when you have a community like that, that will enforce each other, and you can give them dictates from the pulpit that have the weight of scripture, I mean, that is an easily controllable population. So it's not even necessarily, they don't, the guys at the top, they don't like Islam, but they like Christianity or the other way around. It doesn't matter to them. As long as you're controllable, that's what they want. That's what they're going to go for.
Yeah. Everything is a device, a tool, a vehicle.
Yeah.
Let me think of an example. Well, look, again, we just have to be able to recognize when people are doing things that are more destructive than constructive. They're doing things that are suppressive as opposed to giving you the freedom to make your own choice.
Right.
And they're manipulating. And believe me, many, many psychiatrists are involved in this, where if anybody goes online, they've redacted quite a lot of it. But years ago, I found one and lost it of, what is it, Kubak? The CIA torture manual for South America. And in there, you can see that they've analyzed what actually upsets people the most, being clobbered over the hand with a hammer or the anticipation of being clobbered over the hand with a hammer. And actually, it's a bloody depressing movie. But there's the one English language film that Ingmar Bergman made. It was called The Serpent's Egg. It's on YouTube. And it's the period before the Second World War, during the whole kind of Berlin, collapse of the Weimar and all the degradation of that period. And I won't spoil it for you, but it has a lot to do with psychiatry and the desire to control, the psyops, the learning about how people can be manipulated, which is why, sorry to say, you've all got to educate yourself about actual medicine.
Right.
I mean, I, at 28, it's too long a story, but suffice to say, I had these visions and I went to this, I can't believe I'm going to forget this name too. Bear with me, everyone. I know you feel it too, that you can't remember things sometimes.
Only when you need to remember it.
Please, God help me. He is German, theosophy, come on, someone in my ear. You know, he was that German Christian mystic, and he wrote lots of schools. Lots of information about who we are and who are
Jung?
No, no. Oh my God!
Not Carl Jung.
What? I can't hear you. It's a bloody thing. What?
Alan Watts?
No. He's British. No, German. Sorry, everyone. Love me through this period of Alzheimer's.
Well, so what did he say?
Okay, he made schools and Montessori's. The guy who gave the recipes for the Walida products. Oh, it's going to come to me, please, God. Anyway, I can't remember it. Why was I talking about this? Oh, dear. You better start talking because I am really having a blank out here.
Oh, that's okay. Well, you know, just talking about control again, this is something else that just always comes into my mind. Clockwork Orange, the Ludovico technique, right? This idea that is it worth it to have free will if you use that free will to do bad? And why don't we just remove your free will so you can't do anything bad anymore? And the horror of that, the sort of existential horror of the idea that you can no longer be in control of your own thoughts or your own actions, and how much worse that is than allowing people to have free will, even if bad things happen every once in a while, and how it's worth it. Free will is worth it, even if people cause pain, even if people do bad things. The worst thing is destroying your ability to think freely, think for yourself, and make your own choices.
Yeah, and who are the most likely to get to the top of the power pyramid than those who are desperate for everyone to be underneath them?
Right.
So their motivation, I think, is psychotic.
And weakness, yeah.
Yes, ultimately it's a tremendous spiritual weakness that you cannot allow other people to exist.
Yeah.
Because you're so terrified of other people that they must be cowed and crushed.
Yeah.
Maybe even, best of all, dead, which is what they clearly are aiming for now.
Absolutely.
It's funny. Actually, I was talking to Daria about this last night. The FBI Crime Classification Manual. It's a very dry read, but you know that film, that TV series Mindhunter,
mm-hmm,
on Netflix? It's those guys that created these profiles of criminal types.
Yeah.
And I found it so interesting that in the murder section, you will not find mass murderers. You won't find the Hillary Clintons.
Right.
And it's very curious to me that they didn't profile that, but I guess it just shows you, because they are above the law.
Right.
They can't get to them. So why profile them? They can't even speak to them about their mass murdering joy.
Right.
But, you know, when you think about the people right now who have developed a technique for sterilizing, giving people a multitude of horrific symptoms in order for them to die slowly, pay for it. It's almost like the Jews, when they were on the, you know, supposed to be moved, they actually bought tickets. Many of them were sold tickets to get on these trains.
Oh my gosh.
You know, it's like they're so perverse, they're so sadistic. And the reason why I'm going on about the FBI classification manual is that it starts to give you a full understanding of psychotic states.
Right.
And for us to not understand that you could be a high functioning psychotic. And if we don't start acknowledging the fact that we have a responsibility to make sure that the people who get in power, and I don't know how we do it yet, but I just want to point it out, we've got to figure out if they're psychopaths.
Right.
No, I mean, it's not even vaguely like, let's see if he's a psychopath. It's like, our lives depend.
Right.
You should see the things that I tweet to Bill Gates. I'm constantly saying to him.
Oh my God, talk about psychopaths. My God. Well,
okay.
Thank you so much for staying with us. I know you have to go, but we got to get you on again because I could talk to you for hours and hours about all this stuff. I feel like we barely scratched the surface.
Oh, that's my fault.
No,
I'm sorry.
No. We could go on and on. Vivian Kubrick, thank you so much for being here with us.
God, it's a pleasure.
You are the reason InfoWars existed. You're the reason we've had so much success. You're the reason the globalists hate our guts. I couldn't have done any of this without you. And now we're so close to being shut down. We fought so hard. We never gave up. We never backed down. But they have the state receiver appointed. He was here today. He can shut us down any time. I'm cutting this announcement on the evening of November 6th, Thursday, November 6th, 2025. And you have until this Sunday, just 3 days, to take advantage of the biggest sale in the history of theoxygenstore.com, which I don't own, but finances the new network and keeps InfoWars on the air so the bad guys can't shut it down. You get great products, the best supplements, the widest selection of Patriot apparel, collectible knives, and so much more, and you keep this operation on air one way or another. I am the InfoWar. My crew is the InfoWar. The caller, the guest, all of us are the InfoWar. They're not going to shut us down. We're not giving up. The fact that they've come after us so hard is a testament to how far we've come against them, and they know they can't continue to operate. They're going to lose if they don't shut us down. So be the reason we stay on the air. Huge sale, 25% off store-wide on top of huge sales, 50% off with things like ultramethylene blue and more. It ends this Sunday. Take advantage of it right now at thealexjonesstore.com, and I salute all of you and thank you for being at the heart of this fight. You are the spirit of 1776 worldwide. You are the resistance.
The truth is just a tap away. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the Alex Jones app, available now on Google Play and the Apple App Store. Stream the latest shows, stay up to date with breaking news, and support free speech with every click. Grab your t-shirts, hats, supplements, and more, all inside the app. Don't wait. Download the Alex Jones app today and join the fight for freedom.
You can judge a man by the enemies he dares to defy. He stands against those who would chain the voice of freedom, battling shadowy forces that seek to silence truth. He rises against those who would disarm the people, a lone sentinel guarding the rights of the many. Through the fire of unjust legal warfare, he fights. Not for himself, but for those who cannot. Stripped of wealth, betrayed by systems, yet driven by an unyielding hunger for justice. On the altar of truth, he swears an oath, enduring relentless assaults, slander, schemes, and ceaseless attacks.
InfoWars just lost their war on info.
InfoWars is shutting down.
And he remains unbroken, unbowed, unstoppable. His enemies thought they could crush him, thought they could bury his resolve. They were wrong. From the ashes of their lies, he rises stronger. A beacon of defiance in a world of shadows. His enemies reveal his strength, his courage, his heart. But this fight is not his alone. It belongs to every soul who yearns for truth, who dares to stand tall. Will you join him? Will you rise against the tide of tyranny? For a man is not defined by the enemies he faces, but by the fire he carries within. Stand with him. Fight for truth. The battle begins now.
Forged in the fires of liberty, the Alex Jones Network Live app stormed to number one in Apple's trending news apps. Big tech tried to bury it, but freedom's flame can't be extinguished. AJN Live delivers raw truth, uncensored broadcasts, hard-hitting reports, and live alerts the elites dread. Don't let censorship win. Download now. Stand tall. Join the fight. AJN Live, forged by liberty, powered by truth.
Five, six pets died in the United States from a rabies vaccine they didn't need. Anybody can walk in here, sit down, and say whatever they want. But I gave you science. I said to the state board, if I had to kill an animal to obey that law, would I have to do it? They said yes. One rabies vaccine is good for life. All this is unnecessary. If that dog had a titer check, it would not need a vaccination. So this is the real problem here. I had put upstairs in the public health department 45 articles that show vaccines are dose dependent. Titers indicate immunity. It's been proven.
Okay, but who's the we? Who's the we?
The researchers. The researchers. These are the researchers. They're the ones who do the research.
Okay, I've spent a career in the pharmaceutical.
And I've spent a career being a veterinarian watching animals die from rabies vaccines.
I think I have before, but I completely don't agree with what you're saying. Do you know of any studies that the vaccine can sometimes create other health concerns for animals? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. You get tumors at the injection sites. You get autoimmune diseases that start later in life, but you get the immediate reactions. Some dogs die immediately of anaphylaxis. Others get just serum sickness and they vomit, maybe hide under the bed for a day or two. But if I lower my dose, right, to protect the animal, then I'm in trouble. So I have to do what the manufacturer says, and like the State Board of Connecticut said, if I have to kill my pet, I have to kill my pet. It's the law. Well, guess what? I have a Hippocratic oath that is greater than any law that's passed in the state of Connecticut that would make me kill my patient. I won't do it.
There we go, folks. That was the video we were talking about last segment. This is Harrison Smith here coming to you live for the InfoWars Sunday night broadcast. It is the 9th of November, 2025, and I'm in studio with the one and only Vivian Kubrick. You can follow her on X at VIKU1111, where she says very mean things about Bill Gates. Right here.
With glee. Actually, I want to say to everyone on X who writes, you know, Bill Gates is a psychopath, can you please put at Bill Gates? Because he's turned off all his comments, coward. And and I just think it's very important that you let them know. They need to understand and feel intimidated because all of these bastards are total cowards.
Yeah.
And so the more that they get some feedback, you know, if you're going to write and you understand what you're talking about, you know, that Bill Gates is factually, along with Melinda, let's not forget her. She doesn't get to, like, crawl off stage.
Right, right.
These are mass murderers. They've mass injured people as well. They've mass sterilized people. And so, yeah, that's my little thing to everyone. If you're going to write comments, write it to Bill Gates. Write it to Obama. I never put out an attack without attacking the people directly.
You got to let them know, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so.
And they know, don't they? I mean, that's something that as much as we're talking about the attack and these people are psychopaths, you're absolutely right, but we beat them. We beat them in COVID. We beat them on climate change. I mean, Bill Gates is walking climate change back. They're still going to try to put these things forward, but when informed people stand up and refuse to give in, refuse to give in to the coercion or the threats or whatever else, I mean, in fact, I think I put the video in there. Again, it's just totally coincidental because I was going to use this for something else. You know, I didn't put it in, but a few days ago, there was a guy going around filming, or he'd re-uploaded a video from 2021 and showing the COVID camps. They had built COVID camps to put us in. They never got to use them in America, but they wanted to. And it was because we said no, because we resisted every step of the way. Their plan did not work. They got a lot of stuff. They got the vaccines out. They poisoned a lot of us. I'm not downplaying any of that. But if it was up to them, you know, Fauci refers to 2025 as COVID year 5, right? They wanted us probably still to be locked down to this day. The mass starvation, the, you know, destroying the farmlands and turning everything into factory farms again. It's all about control. And they wanted to use COVID as this lever to shove all of humanity into a planetary digital prison. And we stopped them. So we have to, you know, as much as we talk about how dangerous they are, we also have to remember we can defeat them peacefully if we have the right information, if we stand up against it. There's nothing that they can impose on us without our, you know, willingness to go along with it.
There are compliance.
Right.
And I just want to acknowledge, and I hope all of you out there not only love InfoWars for what they did, but all of you guys saved millions of people because you're the first, I think it was the first couple of weeks you had Professor Francis Bacon, who, by the way, seemed to just die in a weird way, not unlike the guy, the doctor that, I mean, the scientist that developed the PCR test.
Right.
Again,
right.
Sorry, everyone, I forgot.
Mullins, I think his name was.
Oh, yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And our there's you're talking about, sure.
Yeah, and there's you know. Anyway, I think the fact that we did benefit from knowing, I mean, I was listening to you guys.
Right.
And once I heard Francis, I was going to say Francis Bacon.
Francis Boyle here.
Yeah. God, my poor brain. Francis Boyle. Is anyone else out there having the same problem?
You need some methylene blue. Where's our methylene blue? We need to get you up on this stuff.
Oh, my God. She's
I think it is.
I think it's, oh God, it's got bubbles. It must have been there for years. Let's see.
Good.
Mmm.
Your mouth's going to turn blue. That's the only downside.
That's all right.
You think we don't take this stuff, folks. We are serious.
It's not the most lovely taste. I think maybe it's evaporated because it does have bubbles. Maybe it's gone old. Perhaps something weird is going to happen to me now because I've got ancient...
Oh, Carrie Mullis. There they go. They found the right guy. I should take a moment to remind everybody, please do go to thealexjonesstore.com. Thealexjonesstore.com is how we stay on air. It's how we do all of this. It's how we are going to continue to grow and expand and cover things to an even greater degree when whatever happens at InfoWars happens. Please do go to thealexjonesstore.com. Get yourself some Ultramethylene Blue or any of the other products. Oh, right now it's buy one, get one free on Ultramethylene Blue. So... that is a big one. I know people like to stock up on that. So go now, be a VIP member. We so very much appreciate it. And I am very proud of our coverage during COVID. I mean, we not only identified COVID, we identified where it was going to go. We identified that it was a lab leak. I mean, before most people even knew what COVID was, we had established all this because it had been a long running plan of theirs.
Well, honestly, I didn't know that was a plan of theirs.
Right.
But what I do know is you guys saved millions of people's lives. And if you did nothing else at InfoWars, that act of getting that information out, and for all the people, including myself, that went about trying to tell people, you should have seen me. It was pitiful. I'd be going through the supermarket without a mask on, being trailed behind me by the manager going, ma'am, you have to put your mask on. And I'd be going up to people saying, literally giving them my phone number and saying, I'd like to show you this data. I'd like to show you the Rockefeller, what was that?
I've got it right here. Yeah, the scenarios for a future of technology and international development. They call it the lockstep document. And it's so, well... continue.
Wait, it's the one thing I can remember. Can I say it? It's page 18.
Here we go. We can flip right to page 18. And actually, I brought this in. I've been actually carrying this around for a little while, specifically to talk about what you identified, sort of the two poles that you need to define things by as being liberty or authoritarianism. See, they have different understandings of what they want. And so, as part of this Rockefeller scenario planning documentation, they have this... this grid, right? Lockstep is just one of the four scenarios. And the way that the two axes here are political and economic alignment and adaptive capacity. So this is how they judge things, right? So if you have a high political economic alignment, which means centralization, it means not a lot of free thought, it means everybody on the same page by force or coercion, and then adaptive capacity, they claim that larger corporations are better at dealing with changes, which is, I think, fundamentally not true, because I think if you're a small business, you can make decisions for your store and it's easy. But if you're a Walmart and you have to make a decision for 10,000 stores across the whole country, it's a lot more difficult, but it's a lot easier to control. And that's why, Walmart was allowed to open up because they could have the corporation and the corporate element, dictate to all of them, okay, you have to have, 6-foot distancing rules, you have to be vaccinated, you have to wear masks. When you have that corporate control from on high, it becomes a lot easier to dictate to mass numbers of people, a lot easier than it would be if you had to go around to 10,000 small businesses and convince them to go along with you, right? So I just thought it was interesting because the way we perceive the world as being, liberty is the ideal and we're headed towards that and we try to get away from authoritarianism, they have exactly the opposite interpretation.
Yeah, because again, I mentioned the FBI crime classification manual. If you read the sections on psychopathic killers, the one thing, and I happen to be a little obsessed with serial killers, so I've looked at a lot of their cases.
Yeah,
is that there's the control part is huge for them.
You're right.
They have to tie their, they have to own them. Some of them even, like Ed Gein, had to own their flesh.
Right.
And control them from inside their own face.
Right.
So I think that we have to become far more accomplished at observing patterns in behavior and realizing that if anybody is trying to vertically integrate, centralize, control, they're crazy.
Right.
And here's a very simple thing, which I always thought was funny about, the Aryan, Ubermensch, whatever, is that the smaller the gene pool, the more likely you're going to drop dead as a species. you know, like Canadian ducks, there was like hardly any of them left, and they sort of put them on an island, and they went, yay, we've got so many, and then they all dropped dead because
right.
they didn't have genetic diversity.
Right.
And in fact, interestingly, I don't have that that genetic thing of like being unable to process B vitamins, because that's a big characteristic of white people.
Right.
Because I, in my family, I have Russian, Austrian, Romanian Jews.
Right.
Mongolians, Portuguese, German, and Gypsy.
Right.
So I'm like kind of an example of if you have a big gene pool, there's going to be certain characteristics that are improved.
Right.
So classically, these psychopaths are like trying to go, no, they must all have blonde hair and blue eyes and they have to be, and you're just devouring that gene pool.
Right.
Anyway, I forget where we were going.
Well, we're talking about, you know, lockstep and because you brought up this. You were bringing this up to people in the grocery store and stuff, the Rockefeller Foundation, the lockstep document. And I mean, what, you know, it just proves that this was a plan. It just proves that, you know, they were ready for this and they were all aligned when the whole thing was rolled out. And again, when people understand that, like when you really take that in and think about what that means, that what happened to us in 2020 and beyond was a deliberate plan by these people.
Mm.
I mean, it puts everything in just this, in this new perspective that frankly, a lot of people aren't strong enough to even handle. Like, I think that's one of our biggest issues trying to get the truth out is it's terrifying when you know how controlled things are. It can be, you know, it takes a lot to understand, like, no, this was a top-down policy from the highest people of our government. The people that we're supposed to trust the most did this to us. Most people would just rather blank that out, not even think about it, and go, that guy must be crazy. I won't even, you know, entertain what he's saying. But then you have a document that proves it. They can't exactly brush this off and call it conspiracy theory. It's a literal conspiracy.
Not to forget that it was the DARPA that gave the instructions of how to make this vaccine to the vaccine manufacturers.
Yep.
And they lied to us. They said, oh, warp speed, we really developed a, you know, and no, you didn't. It was like developed back in like, you know, 20 years ago or whatever. All those nanotechnology.
Yeah.
Or did any of you see a lot? I don't know whether they did it deliberately in England or whether it was also here, but I saw people putting on videos during COVID when they were all being injected where they were shining black lights on their hands and their veins were showing up under black light.
Really?
And in fact, what are those ultraviolet lights that I keep seeing now in cities? What are they for other than to see whether in the future...
Oh, that's interesting.
...you're vaccinated?
Right.
Because of that luciferase, you know, what a name.
Right.
I think, though, that I want to go back to this important aspect. You guys are here, and without... I cannot imagine my life if I hadn't been listening to InfoWars for the last 20 years. I mean, I literally, it frightens me how ignorant I would be.
Right.
And for all of you out there, I know it's embarrassing to go up to people, but, you know, if you can work up a little bit of some style, you know, I mean, I'm a chatterbox and I love people, so I go up to them and I talk very easily with them. And I'm not creepy and I don't get angry. You know, I love their babies and I talk to them and I say, hey, you know that the COVID mRNA is on the child vaccination thing and you should really look into it. And I tell them to go to the, you know, Children's Health Defense.
Yeah.
And I tell them about, you know, the guy whose name I can't remember right now, Adele Bigtree. Thank you, brain. And, you know, I just try to offer them, but, you know, I try to offer them the information and you're quite right. People can't face it. They don't want to know. And even if you show them something, they might look at it once, but then it's like fear. And they'd rather just go, la, 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 la. And it's like our job and all of you out there who know that you're capable of being responsible for your fellow humans, no matter how fallen or pathetic they might be sometimes. You know, that's the difference between us and psychopaths.
Right.
Is we look at something weak and in danger and we want to help. And a lot of... And I've seen this with my own eyes. A lot of people who are really crazy, they're repulsed by weakness. They want to kill it. They're like, you know, some base animal.
Yeah.
So.
And Well, and the inverse is true too, right? When you're strong, you see somebody else who's strong and you think, yes, you know, me and him, we're strong together. You don't see another strong person and go, oh, I want to tear them down. Or you see somebody stronger than you and you go, oh, I bet I can reach that one day. You're not threatened by strength and you're not repelled by weakness. You want to build up the weak and you want to build up the strong. It's like, why would I be scared of anybody else being strong if I'm also strong? It really is, whether it's spiritual or physical weakness, these people want everybody as weak as themselves. It all comes from fear, I think.
And think of critics who criticize films or art or whatever. I've never understood the idea of criticism, you know, because it's the same, you know, like I know that, like, the person that did the sculpture on top of the Crown Courts in England, it's like, you know, I forget her name, of course. She's like holding up a sword of whatever, forget the symbolic meaning. And so anyway, he got it mixed up. He put them in the wrong hands. And he was so traumatized by the criticism that he got, he killed himself.
Oh, wow.
And it's like, I know the suffering of artists when they get these horrible reviews.
Right.
And equally, I'm horrified that things that are absolutely despicable globalist propaganda are like, oh, this is so brilliant. You know, The Guardian, The Village Voice, you know, New York Times, this is the best. And it's just packed with these horrible woke, you know, I mean, thank God people are starting to go, yeah, keep your Disney.
Yeah.
Keep your Hollywood.
I don't know if you saw this month or October was the lowest performing box office returns for Hollywood since 2020, when they actually, you know, could like shut down the theaters. October was their worst performing year like ever. I think at least in like 27 years, something like that was the thing. So there's a major difference between what the critics want, what the critics like, and what the people want. We don't want this crap. We don't want the you know, these anti-human narratives shoved down our throat, and Hollywood is refusing to learn that lesson.
Well, am I wrong in saying that the Chinese control Hollywood?
No, I think you're exactly right.
And actually, everyone should learn up on the opium wars.
Yeah.
Because going in and demoralizing, I mean, what is it? Yuri Bezmenov, yeah, I can't say his name, where he warned.
Demoralization, yeah.
Yeah. And so, again, if you can appreciate the importance of your ability to differentiate, when you see something that's repulsive, it's because it is.
Right.
And you shouldn't be guilted or, you know, accused of being far right, which is really getting lame now, or that you're a racist or Islamophobia. You have to understand that all of this stuff, which you probably do by now if you're watching InfoWars, all of this stuff has been very carefully worked out, which is why I hope you will watch The Serpent's Egg by Ingmar Bergman. It is on YouTube because it shows you the beginning of them trying to figure out, I'm not going to spoil it for you, but they're trying to figure out how to control people.
Right.
And if you look at Kubak, that CIA torture manual, and if you start educating yourself by reading, you know, the FBI classification manual, which I do think is very accurate because different levels of consciousness manifest differently and they manifest similarly at those levels. That's why they can create profiles. That's
right.
Why they can predict what kind of age group, sex, you know. So by educating yourself and allowing yourself to have the confidence to work out for yourself what it all means.
Yeah.
Thank you. Serpent's Egg. Yeah.
You can empower yourself.
I mean, let me tell you something. When I started getting into alternative medicine, it, you know, you can say what you like about it, but I had visions about chemotherapy because my dog had cancer. I didn't know anything about food. I didn't know that I was feeding canned junk to her.
Right.
You know, I loved her. And I literally had visions of the chemotherapy drug, and I won't go into it all. But anyway, I then went to a medical bookstore in London. You're supposed to be a medical student. And I just breezed in. And I looked at how you administer chemotherapy drugs, and I looked at how dangerous it was, how it's excoriating, and you have to be very careful to, you know, that most tumors don't have blood supply, so it's not going to usually hit it. Plus, cells are in certain states of their phase of existence, that if you hit it with chemotherapy in the wrong state, it's not going to do anything. Not forgetting that chemotherapy destroys your intestines, destroys your bone marrow, and gives you cancer.
Right.
It's like, do I need to have some doctor tell me that it's okay to use, oh God, what's that thing that Trump was...
Oh, Finbez?
No. The Ozempic.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I was horrified when Trump... I hope he's just playing them along.
I hope
but
so.
But like saying, yes, we've, you know, Ozempic is this... There's no problem with Ozempic, is there?
All right.
I hope he's been... What?
The Gila monster poison, or the anglerfish poison, as Alex likes to call it, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it is. I mean, he doesn't like to call it that. That's actually what it is, yeah.
And so if you bother, and now that there's ChatGPT... and Grok, you can kind of worm your way around things and demand for it to give you URLs so that you can like double check it. But if you just say, what is this chemical? What does this do? What, you know, go and look at the hazard documents online, the PDFs. You just work, because that's your spiritual job right now. If you know how terrible things are and you know that children are dying because they're being poisoned by injections, I went shamelessly around supermarkets. The second I saw a baby, I'd go up and I'd say how beautiful, and then I talk to mom and I'd say, you know, like I said, and I because I cannot walk past a baby
right.
and think that maybe their mother doesn't know. And, you
right.
know, what happens from that point, I'm helpless. But to actually... take responsibility, and it's hard because sometimes I feel shy.
Right.
Sometimes I'm actually scared to go up to people because, you know, I'm not absolutely completely, I'm not Russell Brand. I am not like going to get in people's faces and just be gleeful.
But that's the thing.
I love you, Russell. Don't get me wrong.
But you don't have to be confrontational. You don't have to be know-it-all. Because I try to do the same thing. And hell, I host a show where I'm yelling about this stuff 3 hours a day. I still have trouble, you know, breaking out of the shell and going, hey, you know. But it can be as simple as, you know, I'll have a friend that's saying, oh, yeah, I think I'm going to get this shot. And I'll just go, I don't think you should, man. Like, I don't think it's a good idea. I think you should look into it. And even if it's just that, you know, because, you know, what are they going to say? Like, why, how dare you? They're going to be like, well, no, I'm still going to, I'm all right, man, but. I can't let you leave without at least telling you I think it's a bad idea. And it could just be as simple as that. Mm-hmm. Just a little something, not going, oh, but do you know? Blah, 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 blah. It doesn't have to be that. It can be, you know, hey, if you want more information, I got more for you, but here's what I think.
Here's my number.
Yeah, here's my number. Yeah.
And God knows how many people I gave my number to. I probably only heard back from maybe 2%.
Right. But you made the effort, and that is really what counts. And God only knows how many people, you know, took what you said to heart and went and looked it up themselves. I mean, it can really, really make a difference. I know because people have said stuff to me that's put me on the path I'm on now. And I know, you know, things that I've said offhandedly on the show, people go, you know, you said this one thing 3 years ago. I don't remember saying it, but it stuck with them. So just take the opportunity, man. We're already out of time. Vivian Kubrick, thank you so much for being with us. We could go on and on and on. I think you should have your own. I think you should do a true crime podcast. I think that's what you should do. I would love listening to that.
Well, I don't know about true crime. I would love to do a broadcast.
All right, well, we're out of time.
On farming and alternative medicine.
Real quick, I just wanted to plug the Methylene Blue. I'm a new supplement buyer from Alex Jones Store, and I keep hearing people talking about the Methylene Blue, and I'm like, you know what? I don't know what the hype is all about, but I definitely want to try it. And what I noticed is I didn't get the sensations that a lot of the other people said that they got, you know, like the tingling fingers and like this, you know, euphoria. But I do have an ample amount of energy, and I'm disabled, so I'm a housewife, and whenever you're at home, day in and day out, 7 days a week, it really tends to drag after some time. And there were things that I wasn't doing around the house that I should have. But now I'm getting things done like really quick. I have all this extra time on my hands now. And I really think it's the Methylene Blue that's been giving me the energy. And it's so funny because now like my silly husband's calling me a meth head, which is hilarious. But so I'm going to stick on that. And I actually have some bovine coming in today, so I can't wait to try that out. I'm also going to give that to my dog because, you know, I need a lot of help too. And I brought online that's really good for your dog if you give them like a small little amount of the food. So I'm going to do that. I just thought I would tell you guys about my experience with this so far. So,
well, Jen, thank you. That's amazing to hear, and we love to hear that. Honestly, I mean, that's the reason why Alex has created the shop so people can get, you know, get healthier and not be relying on big pharmaceutical companies, but instead take control of their health. So that's good to hear. You know, I fluctuated weight wise too. And so finding something that works is really important, and not to get hooked on those like high caffeine, insane chemicals, energy drinks, which so much of us have relied on over the years. I literally was getting anxiety from one of them. And so I too am on the blue these days. So I guess your husband would call me a meth head, but it's good to hear from you, Jen. I love it. I think it's great. And I love to hear from you as well.